Are you okay tonight? Good. Well, can someone find me 1 John chapter 1? That's good. You can find it for me. I'm going to read from verse 5. Somebody got it? Some of our young friends find it? Oh, we got two fellows. That's great. So I need as many as possible. Well, you read chapter 5. You read verses 5 and 6 and 7. And then you read to the end. Okay? Can you do that for me? Can I, Bruno, have a microphone here? Okay. I've learned that you've got to put it on. That's the secret of microphones. You've got to have them on. Here we are. Okay, you got a good guy to read the Word of God tonight. Okay?
This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins.
Amen. Isn't that the truth? It's God's truth. Oh, here's my other friend. He's going to read to the end for me. I want to get these verses. Great to hear these young folks say, reading this word, isn't it? Wonderful book. This buddy helps me all the time, don't you?
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Thank you very much. Now, there's a verse there, and a verse at the end there, that I like very much. It's one of my favorite verses. It's right at the end there. It says there, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to make us clean from all unrighteousness. Now, somebody said to me on the way in tonight, did you do your shopping this week? Well, you know, the economy is getting very tight, so I just one or two things tonight. But I want to do something here, and the first thing I want to do in my bag is to go back to the basics. Now, that's a good place to begin, isn't it? Right at the basics. Now, if you're going to build a house, one of the basics of building a house, and I'm not a builder, is that you lay a good foundation. You've got to clear the site. You've got to make sure that when you pour the concrete that it's going to be right and it's going to stay right. And so when we come to the Word of God, we discover this, that what our friends were reading to us tonight was that there was something fundamentally wrong with us. If you go to another verse in the Bible, Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and come short of the standard of God. Do you know one of the big problems in the world today is that we look around and we can always find someone who's worse off than we are, and so we can always fold our arms and say, well, I'm a good person. Look at him. Isn't that right? But my friend, that's not how God measures us. He doesn't say, okay, you're the tallest boy in the class, you're the tallest girl in the class, or you're the best person in the village, or in the town, or in the island. No, he doesn't work that way. He says, wait a minute, will you measure yourself up alongside me? And then the bad news comes. That we might be better than someone else in our own mind, but in the sight of God, woof. I had a brother. I just took his funeral a few months ago. 5 years older than me. So when he was a teenager, I was just one of those annoying little brothers. When I grew up, he discovered I was still an annoying brother, but never mind. And he one day wanted to go and join the police force in our city. I was brought up on the east coast of Scotland in the town of Aberdeen, and there they had the tallest policeman in Britain. At that time, when I was growing up, you had to be 6 foot to get into the police. And so my brother wanted to become a policeman. Now, he used to lift weights, and his chest expanded. So did mine. But I never lifted weights. Someone said to me, "John, that's a beautiful chest you've got. It's pretty you leave a drawer open, isn't it?" So he went down. He was very healthy. Sat the exam in the police station, made his application, got his physical. Well, he was so healthy, it was no problem. And then they measured him. And he was half an inch too short to become a policeman in our city. He had to go all the way down to London, where all the wee bobbies were, where all the wee policemen are, down there in London. And he became a member of the police, the Metropolitan Police. I was just looking at his photograph when I was cleaning out his house, and there he stood with his uniform and his big London bobby's hat on when he graduated in London. I had the only thing he hadn't got. I had the extra half inch that he could have said to the recruiting side, "Well, you know what, I'm smart." There was no doubt about that, he was smart. He could have said, "Well, look, I'm very healthy, look at my muscles." There was no doubt about that. But the recruiting sergeant said, "You're too short." And you know, when it comes to the Bible, we discover that God says, "Wait a minute, stop measuring yourself against your friend, your pal, or your neighbors, or somebody else that you work with or live with, young and old. Don't measure yourself against other people. Measure yourself against God's standard." And in Romans 3 and 23, God says that the basic is this, that we're too short. We can't walk into heaven, my friends, on our own accord. We can't get there because there's a huge barrier between us and God. A tremendous chasm and gulf. And when the Lord Jesus came, he built that bridge. And so we discover this, that sin gives us many burdens. It also gives us much unhappiness. I'm not going to list them all tonight, because it would take us all night to list them, wouldn't it? But there are many things. And so we discover that the basic tonight is this, about sin, is that it robs us of fellowship with God. One of the wonderful verses that was read was this, from one of these dear young men. "If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, and have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, makes us clean from that unrighteousness." And so what we discover here, the basics about salvation is this, that the Lord Jesus came. He came to Bethlehem. He came into the cradle. You've just celebrated that, haven't you? Jesus' birthday. He was God's Son's gift. Remember that wonderful verse? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not" what? "Perish, but have everlasting life." I think it was a trio or a quartet. I'm not good at counting. But one of a group that sang, "I'm going to live forever." And that's true. You see, it's only the earthly house that dies. The inner person goes, the soul of the person goes to be with God. Now, how do we know? What is the basics about salvation? Well, the basics about this is that there had to be someone who was absolutely perfect. I remember preaching in our big tent in Liverpool in England, and we had the big 1,000-seater tent, and we closed the meeting, and this little lady came up, little English lady, God bless her, with her umbrella. They've always got umbrellas in England, you know. Not just handbags, but umbrellas. And she's pointing at me and saying, young man, I used to be a young man, you know. I wasn't always like this. Young man, you're talking rubbish tonight. That's wrong. And I said, oh, what did I say wrong, dear? And she said, I'm not a sinner. And I looked at her, and her face was getting bright red. I thought she was going to explode any minute. And she was getting bright red. I was getting worried about her heart. I didn't want her to die on the spot. And I said to her, will you come down and sit with me for a few minutes? And we went into the little tent, and we sat down. I said, now get your breath back and tell me what you are. She said, I'm an Anglican. Oh, I said, that's an interesting definition. But I said, you know what you really said tonight? You said, you're not a sinner? She said, no. Well, I said, do you know, there's only one man I know who lived on this earth who never sinned, who was absolutely perfect. And I said, that was God's Son, Jesus Christ. Even when people spat on him, he didn't retaliate that way. I said, he was full of love. I said, when you said you weren't a sinner, you were saying that you were as perfect as Jesus. Wow. She sat down and she looked at me, and by this time she got her composure and her breath and her color back, and she said, I never thought about that before. I am not perfect. And I had the joy of introducing her to the one who was perfect. And she gave her heart and life to the Lord Jesus. You know, and you know, sometimes we say, well, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist, I go to the Gospel Chapel, or I'm... My friend, none of these things get us into the heaven. It's the cross of Jesus Christ, where he died on the cross. And this is what he says. He says, call upon the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. We've got to call upon the name of the Lord if we're going to know his salvation in a very real way. There was a little boy, and he made a boat. Any of you boys made a boat? Carved it out with a knife and went out and sailed it? Oh, okay, no. Well, you're in the ocean. Now here, little boats like that would sink very quickly. But this little boy, he carved out the boat and put a wee sail on it and put it in the river. And put a nice piece of cotton thread on it, not realizing that it needed a little bit better than cotton thread. He should have used a stronger string, and he put it in the river. And the current of the river was such that it pulled his little boat down the water, and it went further and further until finally the thread broke. The current was too strong for it. And so he was rather upset. To say the least, he was upset. And one day he was going through his town, and he looked in one of these second-hand shops that sells everything from junk to treasures of art if you're fortunate enough to find it. And he couldn't believe his eyes, for right in the front of the window was his little boat. So he went in and saw the man, and he said, that's my boat. He said, no, no, he says, it's my boat. No, he says, it's my boat, I made it. Well, he said, if you want it, you're going to have to pay for it. And so he worked out a price for the man, went home and got his pocket money, came back and laid out his money, and he got his boat. And as he went down the road, he was heard saying, as he held his boat, he was heard saying, you're twice mine. I made you and I bought you. And every Christian belongs to Christ twice. He created us. He made us. And on Calvary's cross, he paid it. And we used to sing, Jesus paid it all. When I was a little boy, my mother would say, Go and get the messages. Go, that's what we call them in Scotland. You call them the groceries. We call them the messages. Go and get the messages. So I got a long list on a Saturday, climbed two fences, crossed a busy road, and went down to the Cooperative Society to buy the groceries. And I put them there. It was the days before computers. Now I notice some of you, there were no days before computers. Isn't that right? Well, it was the days before computers. And what happened was this, when you went into the store, you give him your list, and he went down your list, and he ticked it off, ticked it off, ticked it off. And then at the end, he would say, this is how much it would cost. And you took your money out, British pounds, and you paid it there. And he wrote paid on the grocery list. And on the list he had written out, and then he did something that some of you have never seen. It was an early computer type of thing, but it just didn't work like computers. It was a piece of wood with a big wire coming up through the middle of it. And then when he paid it, when you paid it, he took it, and he put it on this wire nail, and it went right down to the bottom, and it was, your groceries were paid on the nail. And you know, boys and girls, men and women, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, we can say Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe, sin had left a crimson stain, he washed me white as snow. So what do I have to do to get it? Have to call? Yes, there's something else I have to do there. And what I've got to do, I got to sign the pledge, haven't I? You know, I like this one. I was looking at this one, and I was kind of laughing to myself. So look at clean and shine. Not what Jesus does here. He takes your life, and he makes it clean. And he puts a shine on it. You can imagine how my mom felt the Sunday I stood at the bottom of her bed after breaking her heart for so many years and said, Mom, it's all different now. On Thursday night I met Jesus. He gave me a new life. No more bottles. No more boozing. No more alcohol. But the Spirit of the living God indwells our life, and we are born again of the Spirit of God. And I was so glad that God cleaned me up and gave me a shine. A Christian should have a smile. Your burden's gone. You're heading for heaven. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Not I. And so we go on life's journey, and we sign that pledge, and we say, Lord Jesus, I will trust you. Trust you with my soul, guilty, lost, and helpless. You can make me whole. That's for boys and girls. That's for teenagers. I was a teenager. That's for men and women. Because it was a while after I became a Christian that my mom and dad became Christians. They had to see me living it before they would accept it. And they became Christians. And it was just a really wonderful thing to get saved, because you know what I got from the Lord? I always used to have to pay for this stuff. I got some joy. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm the kind of guy that you've really got to be real. I'm what they call a realist. Don't fool me with religion. I'm not wanting religion. I want reality. And when I went out on a Saturday night or a Monday night, or we went to dance or this, that, the other, I wanted to go and have fun with a capital F. And I saw these folks who talked about Jesus, and I thought, boy, what a dull crowd of people. Then when I trusted the Lord Jesus, I saw how wrong I was, because I was able to say, I've got joy and this down in my heart. Deep, deep down in my heart. Amen? J-O-Y and it's... Amen. We'll sing a duet some night, brother. That's good. That's the other half of my team. I've got, you know what I discovered? I discovered that Jesus took my burden and gave me forgiveness of sins and a peace with God. Someone says this is last. Well, if you think 50 years is a short time, it lasts. It's real. And you know what? When you get back to basics, we're sinners. Christ died for our sins. And when we sign the pledge and trust Him, my, He will give us, clean us up and give us a shine until the joy of the Lord is coming out in our lives. How do I get that? Realizing what I need, I come to Jesus Christ who died on the cross and say, Lord, you died there for me. Come into my life and be my Savior. Save me tonight. I've known boys and girls to do that. I've known teenagers to do that. I've known men and women to do that. And you know what? I've never known anybody who didn't call on the Lord Jesus Christ sincerely, who didn't get saved. And He's willing to do it tonight. Just imagine as I close that you bought a gift for someone at Christmas. And on Christmas morning, the parcel you worked hard to get is all wrapped up there. And 3-4 weeks later, it's still wrapped up there, unopened, not even bothered to be picked up, not even looked at. I think you would be upset, wouldn't you? You see, if they only knew the work I went to get that gift for them. Well, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, don't all shout out, but think how old you are tonight. Then you ask yourself, have I accepted God's gift? And you discover I'm a young boy. Been in this world 5 or 6 years, haven't accepted it. Or I'm a teenager, and I've never accepted it. Or I'm in my 20s, or 30s, or 40s, or 50s, or 60s, or 70s, or 80s, or 90s. I've led people to the Lord who were in the 90s. Never, all those years, never accepted or opened the gift. My dear friends, God is holding out His gift of eternal life to every one of us tonight because we need it. We need it for the future on earth, and we need it for the future beyond time. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's just take a quiet moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I am just so excited about what You do in the lives of men and women. You do it, not us, not a preacher, not a priest, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And You take our burdens away. And You set us free. And You forgive us. And You help us to live for You as we read Your Word, the Bible, every day. As we pray and get to know You, and having confessed our sins, Lord, I'm a sinner. You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins tonight. Make us clean from all unrighteousness. Ask, Father, touch some heart. Knock on some life's door. May someone tonight ask you to come into their heart and life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful experience. Now, this is my last Thursday night with you. You'll have to get your own groceries next week. But this is my last one, and I just couldn't go home without you singing 150. Is that right? I've lived for 50 years, you know. When I was a young fellow, all the Christians used to come up and say to me, "I'll be quiet. Settle down, Clunas. You'll get over it." Do you know what? I never got over it. I never got over Jesus. I never got over being saved. I never got over the excitement of it. And now that I'm not 25, but a little bit older, I just square my shoulders and I say, "Well, whatever your problem is, I'm sorry for you, but my joy is in knowing Jesus as my Savior."